Kunjabi Hari Jai Kunjabi Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Yamuna Tira Vana Chadi Yamuna Tira Vana Chadi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Paramahansa, Kaliva Jagacharya Astatara Sattasi, Srimadhis Divine Grace, Esi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Ki, Gaur Premanandi. Text 31, right? Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. 2231 Bhagavatam. Tenatmanatmanam upaiti shantam. Anandam anandamayo vasane. Etam gatim bhagavatim gato yaha. Savai punarneha visajjatenka. Tenatmanatmanam upaiti shantam. Anandam anandamayo vasane. Ekam gatim bhagavatim gatoyaha. Savai purnarneha visajjatenka.
Self.
Atmanam,
the super soul.
Upaiti,
attains.
Shantam,
rest.
Anandam,
satisfaction.
Ananda mayaha,
naturally so being.
Avasane,
being freed from all material contamination.
Etam,
such.
Gatim,
destination.
Bhagavatim,
devotional.
Gataha,
attained by.
Yaha,
the person.
Saha,
he,
vai,
certainly,
punaha,
again,
na,
never,
iha,
in this material world, Visajjate becomes attracted. Anga. Oh, Maharaj Parikshit. Translation. Only the purified soul can attain the perfection of associating with the personality of Godhead in complete bliss and satisfaction in his constitutional state. Whoever is able to renovate such devotional perfection is never again attracted by this material world, and he never returns. Nice long two-page purport by Srila Prabhupada. We should specially note in this verse the description of the Gatim Bhagavatim to become merged in the rays of the Parabrahman, the Supreme Personality of Godhead as desired by the Brahmavadi, impersonalist, is not Bhagavatim perfection. The Bhagavatas never accept merging in the impersonal rays of the Lord, but always aspire after personal association with the Supreme Lord in one of the Vaikuntha spiritual planets in the spiritual sky. The whole of the spiritual sky, of which the total number of the material skies is only an insignificant part, is full of unlimited numbers of Vaikuntha planets. The destination of the devotee, the Bhagavata, is to enter into one of the Vaikuntha planets, in each of which the personality of Godhead and his unlimited personal expansions enjoys himself in the association of unlimited numbers of pure devotee associates. The conditioned souls in this material world, after gaining emancipation by devotional service, are promoted to these planets. But the number of ever-liberated souls is far, far greater than the number of conditioned souls in the material world, and the ever-liberated souls in the Vaikuntha planets never care to visit this miserable material world. Paragraph. The impersonalists who aspire to merge in the impersonal Brahmajyoti effulgence of the Supreme Lord, but have no conception of loving devotional service to him in his personal form in the spiritual manifestation, may be compared to certain species of fish who, being born in the rivers and rivulets, migrate to the great ocean. They cannot stay in the ocean indefinitely, for their urge for sense gratification brings them back to the rivers and streams to spawn. Similarly, when the materialist becomes frustrated in his attempts to enjoy himself in the limited material world, he may seek impersonal liberation by merging either, notice, merging with the causal ocean. Ever heard that one before? Or with the impersonal Brahmajyoti effulgence. However, as neither the causal ocean nor the impersonal Brahmajyoti effulgence affords any superior substitute for association and engagement of the senses, the impersonalist will fall again into the limited material world to become entangled once more in the wheel of births and deaths, drawn on by the inextinguishable desire for sensual engagement. But any devotee who enters the kingdom of God by transcendental engagement of his senses and devotional service, and who associates with the liberated souls and the personality of Godhead there, will never be attracted to the limited surroundings of the material world. Paragraph. In Bhagavad Gita 8:15, also the same is confirmed. As the Lord says, quote, the great Mahatmas or the Bhakti Yogis, after attaining my association, never come back to this material world, which is full of miseries and is impermanent, unquote. The highest perfection of life, therefore, is to attain his association and nothing else. The Bhakti Yogi, being completely engaged in the Lord's service, has no attraction for any other process of liberation like Dhyan or Yoga. A pure devotee is a 100% devotee of the Lord and nothing more. And that's one page with another page to go. Prabhupada's expanding on this understanding. We should further note in this verse the two words shantam and anandam, which denote that devotional service of the Lord can really bestow upon the devotee two important benedictions, namely peace and satisfaction. The impersonalist is desirous of becoming one with the Supreme, or in other words, he wants to become the Supreme. This is a myth only. The mystic yogis become encumbered by various mystic powers and so have neither peace nor satisfaction. So neither the impersonalist nor the yogis can have real peace and satisfaction, but the devotee can become fully peaceful and satisfied because of his association with the complete whole. Therefore, merging in the absolute or attaining some mystic powers has no attraction for the devotee. Two more paragraphs. Attainment of love of Godhead means complete freedom from all other attractions. The conditioned soul has many aspirations, such as becoming a religious man, a rich man, or a first-class enjoyer, or becoming God himself, or becoming powerful like the mystics, and acting wonderfully by getting anything or doing anything. But all these aspirations should be rejected by the prospective devotee who actually wants to revive his dormant love of God. The impure devotee aspires after all of the above-mentioned material things by perfection of devotion. But a pure devotee has none of the tinges of the above contaminations, which are the influence of material desires, impersonal speculations, and attainment of mystic powers. One can attain the stage of love of God by pure devotional service or by, quote, a learned labor of love. Nice, huh? For the sake of the devotee's lovable object, the personality of Godhead. And final paragraph. To be more clear, if one wants to attain the stage of love of Godhead, he must give up all desires for material enjoyment. He should refrain from worshipping any of the demigods, and he should devote himself only to the worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He must give up the foolish idea of becoming one with the Lord and the desire to have some wonderful powers just to get the ephemeral adoration of the world. The pure devotee is only favorably engaged in the service of the Lord without any hope of emolument, right, gain. This will bring about love of Godhead or the stage of shantam and anandam as stated in this verse. So three paragraphs just to shed more light on the shantam and anandam words in the verse. So when I was reading the verse in preparation for this morning's class, I was thinking, okay, Alachua, I'm ready. Many smart devotees here, so I'll anticipating the question, could you explain what Prabhupada means when he says, when the materialist becomes frustrated in his attempts to enjoy himself in the limited material world, he may seek impersonal liberation by merging either with the causal ocean or with the impersonal Brahma-jyoti effulgence. So what was that? Merging with the causal ocean. What was that? So it's an open invitation for our learned devotees to, including the online Prabhus, to offer some explanation for what does that mean. There's one reference I'd like to make to assist in this little project of understanding what that means. Going back to earlier in this chapter, because you've been studying the chapter so you know what comes before this, there's this phrase Labdho Prashanti. It goes back to texts 16 and 17. Labdho Prashanti, where it's describing the yogi who gradually attains this Labdho Prashanti stage, which is beyond material time. That's the explanation given by Prabhupada. I'll read 16, where the word appears. Labdho Prashanti. Therefore, the yogi should merge his mind by his unalloyed intelligence into the living entity, and then merge the living entity into the super self. And by doing this, the fully satisfied living entity becomes situated in the supreme stage of satisfaction. Remember the word satisfaction from this verse. And so that he ceases from all other activities. Text 17. In that transcendental state of Labdho Prashanti, there is no supremacy of devastating time, which controls even the celestial demigods who are empowered to rule over mundane creatures, parentheses, and what to speak of the demigods themselves, close parentheses. Nor is there the mode of material goodness, nor passion, nor ignorance, nor even false ego, nor the material causal ocean. Now, in the Sanskrit, the material causal ocean is in the word for word as well as in the translation. The word is mahan. The material causal ocean. So it sounds like the other side of the causal ocean, because material is influenced by time. Everything material is influenced by time, and everything the spiritual is not influenced by time. So not even the false ego, nor the material causal ocean, nor the material nature. So Labdho Prashanti, that's a few verses earlier. 15 verses earlier. So the merging into the causal ocean, I searched, I couldn't find any other reference to merging in the causal ocean. But it seems, so this isn't confirmed by the descriptions elsewhere because I can't find any, but it's a state where time is not influencing things. And certainly in the Brahma-jyoti, time as we know it, the past, present, and future time, is not influencing. And in the causal ocean, similarly, time is not influencing. So there's language that says, on the other side of the causal ocean is the Brahma-jyoti. On the other side of the causal ocean, there's this shore, the material, there's the causal ocean, or the river Viraja, which is described in the purport here. On the other side of the river is the Brahma-jyoti, So the causal ocean is a place where time is not acting. That's verse 17. And one may want to merge with that for some reason, although it's not commonly explained or indicated, as far as I could find. And just drilling down in this a little bit, because I'm in a Lao Chua and I know the devotees in a Lao Chua like to ask these questions from experience. So is there somebody online or in the room that can illuminate or elaborate a little bit more about merging into the causal ocean? That's the best I could do. Yeah, go ahead.
In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhulila chapter 6, I believe it's 269, where the verse says, Brahma Sajajya Hoite Isha Sajajya Dhikka. The merging to Bhagavan is worse than merging to Brahma Jyoti. I'm sure you're familiar with that verse. It's a yes, big purport. Yes. And in the middle to end, if I recall, Prabhupada gave an analogy on the Patanjali's followers. And there is a one verse Prabhupada quoted, Purushartha Sunnanam, that when they finally meet the yogis, now we are not talking about the Gyanis. Gyanis is Brahma Jyoti, but we are talking about Viraja, where the yogis goes. And they want to dissolve. But how they want to dissolve? Because they think ultimately is merging to that. And they actually, I was tracing Sarvam Bhattacharya's comment that actually they merge into this Brahma Jyoti, the Viraja. But Viraja is not a material water, it's a consciousness water. Spiritual. Of course, I have no idea what is that means. I have some idea about the river or lake where the waves. But then waves goes is so high and all the way down. When they're down, they have no idea where they are. They are so absorbed. It appears like they're completely merged. But they still have that individuality. But then when they come up on the surface, then they can see actually the material world and the spiritual world. As far as I remember, that's all.
Fantastic. Any other scholarly devotees want to contribute something to this question, the meaning of merging in the Brahma Jyoti, because merging into the causal ocean? Madhyalila chapter 6, verse number 269. I certainly remember the reference, but I don't remember the purport like you do. By Super Soul's mercy. So you've all been on a journey of going through Canto 2, Chapter 2, and there's this sequence of coming this to this stage where you know it's only the purified soul can attain the perfection of associating with the personality of Godhead. So the purified soul can attain the association of the personality of Godhead. How can one become a purified soul without the association of the personality of Godhead? You know, so what I'm asking is cause and effect. Is there a cause that has an effect? The purified soul is the becoming purified is the cause, and associating with the personality of Godhead is the result or effect. It's not quite like that. It's perhaps the limits of language, limitations of language. But the main point is the attaining the stage of perfection, because there's sequences and sequences and steps and so forth. the goal of which is attaining the association of the personality of Godhead. And that association is loving service. So naturally the Bhagavatam, whatever is found in the Vedas, is following a certain purpose. The purpose is to know Krishna. And to know Krishna, as we know from Bhagavad Gita, is through the medium of bhakti. And through the medium of bhakti, one becomes purified. But through the medium of bhakti, one is also, through the medium of bhakti, associated with Krishna, because that's what bhakti means. Bhakti, we had some discussion yesterday. Bhakti Devi is an expansion of Srimati Radharani, or an expansion of Krishna's Sarup Shakti, Bhakti Devi. That means associating with Krishna. We don't associate with Krishna directly. We associate with Krishna through his potencies, just like our mantra, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare is the vocative of Radharani, Hara, or his internal potency, his pleasure potency. And we're associating with him through the medium of his potency. You can say bhakti, or the expansion of Radharani. We're associating with Krishna, and thus become purified. But fully purified, one may chant that same mantra, Bahu Janma Kari Yadi Shravana Kirtana, so many times, so many years, so many lifetimes, and not get the full effect, because this is speaking of that purified state where one's in direct association. And the obstacle is offense, and the essence of offense is to see that which is spiritual to be not spiritual, or to see material. What does material mean? To see something is separate from Krishna. Because is there something that's separate from Krishna? Well, in a transcendental sense, everything is connected to Krishna, so there's nothing separate from Krishna. But seeing separate, then one sees material. And that's what's within the purport, is the aspiration, perhaps born of frustration, vita raga bhaya krodha, angry, or raga, material attachment, or vita raga bhaya, fear, and krodha. Just listening with a little recording device or playback device, Prabhupada spoke on that verse at least 10 times so far. Vita raga bhaya krodha. Because the rest is mad ashraya, attaining Krishna's association, which is this verse. So there's some obstacles. I'm going to share a little bit things that you already know, but it's just elaborating or illuminating. What Prabhupada is saying in the purport is, of course, the same as what our predecessor acharyas say. And one of those references is Krishna Bhakta Nishkam Ataiva Shanta. Same as what's being emphasized here in this verse. Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami Sakali Ashanta. So these others, these other desires, the desire for bhukti, material happiness, mukti, liberation, siddhi, material perfections of the yogis, those desires agitate the mind. Material desire agitates the mind, even one wanting freedom from material desire. It agitates the mind. It agitates the mind. No, the wish is to become shanti. The wish of those who want this merging thing is, let me get free from desire. And then I can become peaceful. But there, without the shelter of love and loving service to the Supreme Person, it doesn't sustain. And therefore, the awakening of, again, desire separate from Krishna. Bhakti mukti siddhi kami sakale ashanta. There's a companion verse, bhakti mukti spriha yavat. Spriha means a desire. Pishachi. Who's a pishachi? A witch.
Female witch.
Female witch. Well, female witch. Okay. Witch. Pishachi. You know this, so just say it again because we like to hear things repeatedly. Pishachi, this is a verse that when Rupa Goswami was requesting assistance for examining his writing, who was it that said this word, pishachi, is not so good? Balabhacharya. And Jiva Goswami, hearing that he didn't think the word pishachi was so good, he took the opportunity to explain to this great acharya that it's the right word, here's why, and gave his explanation. And then he was very happy. This is a very good word, pishachi, and so it stayed. So these bhukti and mukti desires, they allow this witch to become seated in one's heart. Vartate, remain in the heart. As long as that witch of bhukti and mukti reside in the heart, it's like a witch residing in your heart. And how can you be peaceful if you've got a witch residing in your heart? Tavat bhakti sukhasyatra katam abhutayo bhavet. Katam in this case means how will the happiness of the awakening of bhakti take place in the heart if those two witches, or the witch of these two desires, are in the heart? So one reference is from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya's teachings to Rupa Goswami, and then Rupa Goswami's writings, which just are restatement in his own realization, in his own words, of what Lord Chaitanya taught him. And it's just, so these are our authorities, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Rupa Goswami. And a very similar idea, because I just got through having a wonderful time spending the Memorial Day weekend. I don't know how you spent it down here, but I was speaking along with Mahatma Prabhu. We were in Potomac, and my topic was Marashiksha. So the same topic is presented by Raghunath Das Goswami, who is naturally a lover of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and an ardent follower and worshipper of Rupa Goswami. So he expresses the same in Manashiksha. Same, but the way that he expresses it is not specifically the witch of bhakti and mukti. He speaks about what's the cause of that spriha, that desire. The cause of desire has everything to do with association. and that the primary means of association of wicked desires is through sound. So he uses two other metaphors. They're nice. One is the metaphor of a prostitute, and the other is the metaphor of a tigress, again, female. Not a tiger, a tigress. No offense to the ladies, but it's tigress. So the tigress, well, the prostitute wants the jewel that's within the heart of the devotee. And prostitutes want wealth. So the prostitute, by engaged in asat varta vesya, talks about asat, you know, mundane conversation, asat varta, invites a prostitute. And the prostitute, what she's interested in? She's interested in the treasure, sarvasva hadini. And where's that treasure? It's in the heart, mati, sarvasva hadini. She steals from the heart that treasure, and the treasure is bhakti. So it's hearing asat varta, mundane talk. That tendency in the heart to hear mundane talk is a prostitute. The tendency is within his whole teaching. It's a long description, but his whole teaching is a path, an internal path of purification, where desires for such things leads to the hearing, leads to material desire, you know, inflammation of material desire that steals the treasure of bhakti from the heart. At least that's the poetry of a poetic expression or metaphorical expression of Raghunath Das Goswami. It's the same as what Lord Chaitanya taught Rupa, and Rupa taught in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He's writing the same, but starting with the sound vibration and the hearing of asat varta, hearing of mundane talk. That's the bhakti. It leads to bhakti, the desire, or spriha, the desire, the aspiration for enjoying through material objects. Starts with sound. And then there's another sound that he warns against. Not only warns against, he says, you gotta get rid of it. Kata mukti. Vyagriya, tigress. Look, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is warning, you hear the impersonalists speaking the glories of liberation, and your bhakti life is finished. It's very, very intense warning. And of course, Raghunath Das Goswami is, the soul is eaten by the tigress of talks of liberation. The soul is eaten by the tigress of talks of liberation. You can't eat the soul. The soul is eternal. But in effect, it's as if dead. As if dead. Souls don't die. Souls don't take birth. It's as if dead. So beware of such talks. Kila sarvatma galini. Galini means it devours the soul. Sarvatma galini. Devours the soul. Yikes. But wait a minute, the soul is eternal. So it's poetic. But as if the soul is eaten and dead. Because what's life? Well, the absence of life is death. So what's life? The life is the life of devotion, where there's shelter, the stage of perfection that's being mentioned specifically in this morning's verse. go back to this morning's verse. Only the purified soul can attain the perfection of associating with the personality of Godhead. There's obstacles, even for bhakti practitioners. We're bhakti practitioners, trying to be at least, and there's obstacles in our path, and they're inside, not outside. I mean, there's things outside that prompt something inside, but if that something inside wasn't there, it wouldn't prompt something inside, and then the outside, and then chasing after. So these three, bhakti, mukti, and siddhi. It's a thread that weaves its way through much of Prabhupada's writings. It's again here in this purport. And then there's this message, so the do nots, and then the do. So there's things here that are to do, and then there's the instructions here, the do nots. And then the emphasis in the final page is three paragraphs on these two terms. Shantam and Anandam. And I'll read the introductory verse and the introductory sentence. We should further note in this verse that the two words Shantam and Anandam, which denote that devotional service to the Lord can really bestow upon the devotee two important benedictions, namely peace and satisfaction. So, and then I'll read the last sentence of this three-paragraph section. The pure devotee is only favorably engaged in the service of the Lord without any hope of emolument. This will bring about love of Godhead, or the stage of Shantam and Anandam, as stated in this verse. So I just wanted to spend a little bit of time, and then I'll end, because when you're still lateral, you have lots of discussions and people discussing on what's discussed, and it's like, it's nice to get class here. Special place. So the bhakti bestows, as some of you may know, probably know, this is a lateral. There's a discussion out there in the ether about is bhakti bestowed or is bhakti inherent? So sometimes it says it's bestowed and sometimes it says it's inherent, and it's not a contradiction because it's both. Bhakti bestows, and bhaktas bestow bhakti that awakens the inherent bhakti that's within. There's many nice examples, but here's one, that bhakti, when received nicely, it bestows something very nice. You know, the natural, inherent quality of the soul. And the inherent quality of the soul is not just bhakti, but prema. Nitya Siddha Krishna prema. Sadhya kabunoi, sadhya kabunoi. Shravanadi, shravanadi. Beginning with hearing. Same. It's inherent, or it's our nature, and it's bestowed. And it's not a contradiction. It's a relationship. There's an apparent contradiction, but it's not a contradiction. It's a false dichotomy. It's not a contradiction. It's a nice topic to contemplate, and to, you know, I find that the topic is enlivening. I mean, not just because it's philosophical; it's enlivening. Because we're inherently part and parcel of Krishna, we have an eternal relationship with Krishna that's forgotten, and then it just needs to be revived. You know, a simple example, and I'm going to end. Here's a wooden table. Inside the table, there's fire. Now there's a process by which fire is stored in wood. But, you know, touch the table, it's not hot. So how do I get the fire that's in the table out? Bring fire, and it brings the fire out of the wood. And then, oh, there's fire inside this wood. So is there fire inherent in wood? Yes. Is there bhakti inherent in the jiva? Yes. It's not only inherent, it is who we are. It's our identity, but forgotten. And sound vibration, just like Raghunath Das Goswami is describing, associate with personalities that he names by name, Rupa Sanatan and their followers, and Srup Damodar, and hear from them. That sound vibration cleanses and awakens the stage of perfection. And beware of other sound vibrations, because it causes a problem. You know, associate with a prostitute, you've got a problem. Associate with a tigress, you've got a problem. So watch out for, you know, what sound vibrations you hear. Be careful. Be vigilant. And go for the sound vibration that comes from the perfected souls. Knowing that that path, however, the period of time it takes for purification to come, be eager for it, more than eager. Be absorbed, be what's his word? Yeah, anyway, unprecedentedly absorbed. So we're not there yet, but if we go in that direction, then what's here in the Bhagavatam in this verse, that stage will come. Exactly what Prabhupada writes. So let's see if there's some nice discussion. It's 10 minutes to the hour.
Thank you, Maharaj, for your enlightening us on the prostitute and the tigress in our hearts. Very important. I have an observation. At the end of the very last sentence of the first paragraph of the purport, Prabhupada says, but the number of liberated souls is far, far greater than the number of conditioned souls in the material world. And the ever-liberated souls in the Vaikuntha planets never care to visit this miserable material world. It just struck me, it's really stood out, because previously in verse 28, where it speaks of the devotees in Satyaloka, how they, in that purport, Srila Prabhupada says, the fearless devotee of the... something about them having compassion, and therefore they occasionally visit the material world to relieve the conditioned souls. Whereas in this purport, Srila Prabhupada says they never. Just an observation. You have a comment?
Sure. Invite others to comment, because this is the Lajwa, that's what you do here. Desire and have a feeling that's prompted by the personality of Godhead. The purpose in coming is not the purpose of being an enjoyer of the temporary, or, you know, wishing to get a reminder, I don't want to be there. So, but it's the purpose is prompted by the Supreme Lord, either directly or somehow prompted by the Supreme Lord. So pure devotees have a way of being prompted by the Supreme Lord, and so they come without the interest of coming other than the interest of the Supreme Lord. And transcendental compassion or sympathy, Prabhupada sometimes uses that word, is it's what the Lord wants. Because otherwise, if it's not what the Lord wants, it's not what real compassion, real sympathy is. So it's prompted by the Supreme Lord. That's my understanding of that interesting contrast. Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj. Are the devotees in the spiritual world aware of what is happening in the material world? Or?
Are they aware of what's going on here?
Yeah, I mean, because sometimes you hear some of them, they want to come and help here, but at the same time, the majority of devotees, they are aware of what's taking place here? Or?
I'm trying to think, aside from reason, I'm trying to think, is there some scriptural reference that says something in response to your question? Huh?
Jaya Vardhanam says that this apex of people in Vrindavan, they have no idea that there is a suffering in material world. They never even heard.
All eight.
Eight types.
And all eight,
yes.
They know nothing.
Right. They have no idea that there is a material world, there is a suffering room. But then the idea is, if are they all knowing, or I mean, you're full of knowledge.
Well,
when you're there, you're full of knowledge.
Without this reference from Jiva Dharma, which is the place to go about the ontology of the self, because that's what Jiva Dharma is. It's the ontology of the jiva.
Because of their absorption, Maharaj.
Yeah. However, let's go to Mother Agamika's great reading, and let's say for example, chapter 10 of Canto 7, where Prahlad Maharaj says to Lord Nrisimhadev, "You sent me here." And from where was Prahlad sent? So, my answer is not different, but it's an embellishment. If the Lord prompts one, then one will come to know, and one will come to do something because the Lord wants one to do something. Knowledge comes from, knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness comes from the Supreme Lord. And so if he prompts one, please go. Otherwise, how do you have avatars? How do you have Shaktivesh avatars that descend? Of course, you can have a living entity that's empowered without descending. But you can, one, it makes, from that reference, Prahlad Maharaj just came to this world to teach the way of pure devotional service. Now, there may be other in Hari Bhakti Vilas, there gives some other descriptions of who Prahlad was before he was Prahlad. That's another reference, where he wasn't descent from the spiritual world, but in the Bhagavatam, certainly Sanatana Goswami was well aware of Bhagavatam and that reference, but there's another reference indicating the benefits of Ekadasi. And so, back to your question, are they aware? So in general, they're not even aware at all, unless the Lord prompts them from within, or some method that he prompts them. There's people suffering, I want you to go help me mitigate their suffering. So then they come, they descend by the will of the Supreme Lord, which addresses this question again. There's another hand up.
Thank you, Maharaj. Welcome to Lachua. Thank you for a wonderful class. Isn't there a reference where Prabhupada was asked to come to, and Prabhupada said he didn't want to come? So does that mean he knew the situation here and didn't want to come, or he didn't want to leave Krishna's association?
I have heard that Prabhupada said that. I've never found any, you know, transcription of Prabhupada saying that. So I don't know if he said it or didn't say it. Did anybody learn a devotee in the room?
Yes, Bhavananda Maharaj personally told us. And I have the record of Siddhanta Prabhu's. If you want, I can forward it to you.
Yeah, please.
Sure.
So you're verifying that Bhavananda asked and Prabhupada said.
No, Prabhupada said, I'm paraphrasing, I don't remember exact word, but Bhavananda Maharaj, I remember in early 80s in Prabhupada's garden, he was, every evening he would tell us so many things. So one day he said, Prabhupada, he said, this is the first time and last time I ever heard about. Prabhupada did not want to come, and Krishna says, no, you have to go and translate. And says, material world is so struggle. He said, I will arrange everything, you just go and translate.
Okay. Just wait a minute. Devaki has something, but I want to. I also heard, but could not find the reference that said, Prabhupada said, in my previous life I was a sinless physician. I've heard that one. I've not read it. Panchatattva's nodding. Have you read it, or you've also heard it? You read it.
I think it's in the Lilamrita.
Okay.
A letter.
Send this physician. Here's another hand up. Go ahead. We're just going to drill on this a little bit because we'll come back to you in just a moment. Take the microphone, give to this people here. And then we'll come to her, and then we're going to end.
But the same reference you gave is in the 10th chapter, 7th canto. You gave the reference of Prahlad Maharaj.
Yes.
And 7.10.13, in the purport, Prabhupada writes that Prahlad is simultaneously, and Narad Muni
yes.
also.
Yes.
Yes. Sadhaka and Siddha.
Yes.
So we can reconcile with that.
Okay. Okay, but it doesn't contradict what he says in the earlier verse.
Correct.
He's showing the way of being a sadhaka and he's siddha.
Yes.
So, no problem.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Just two things I was thinking of that seem to fit in this general discussion. I've been reading in 4th canto, Maharaj Prithu, going back to Godhead. And I don't remember exactly the verse, but I just read in the end of a purport last night that practically speaking, there is no material world. Everything is spiritual. But because we have a tendency to want to enjoy it with our senses instead of for Krishna, then it becomes the material world.
Yes.
So that was one thing. And the other, oh dear, where did it go? Vishva Purna Sukhayate.
Which?
Vishva Purna Sukhayate, that Prabodhananda Saraswati yes. says. It's the saintly person. I mean, it's about the spirit. Do the people in the spiritual world know? But it's like, what I understand from what I've heard is that a person who's so saintly like Srila Prabhupada, everywhere he looks, he sees, here's an opportunity to serve Krishna. And that makes it fully blissful and spiritual.
Yeah. Well, on both points you just made, I'd like to make one reply to both points. And that is, this understanding, while on the one hand, Prasya Shakyar Vivadaiva Shuyate, he has unlimited potencies, and there's in categories, but what potency we experience, the avidya shakti, the covering maya shakti, or the spiritual potency, sorup shakti, has everything to do with our regard for Krishna. And the one potency can flip between this and that, although it's one potency. It acts differently according to our regard for Krishna. And I think we should end. Is that it for this morning? Anything online? Do you do online?
There's one question online, Maharaj,
okay,
from
we'll do that.
Keshwa Madhvadas. Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj, is it safe to say that most of us were attracted to the impersonal concept of God at some point? My understanding is that if that is not the case, we will already be established in our natural state, which is to be in a personal and dynamic relationship with Krishna.
It sounds like a statement, not a question.
It's from your godfather, Kilananda.
Just now?
Yeah. You can read it out.
Okay, well, let's do this. There's a premise in what you just read that all of us had or have attraction for the impersonal feature. That's what the premise is. Well, the consistent statement that's made is attraction for being an enjoyer. Krishna is the enjoyer, and the soul that has an attraction to be an independent enjoyer, generally that means material. Not that generally that means impersonal. That's the bhukti desire, not the mukti desire. So at the premise of the question is in question. Okay, here's Akilananda. Shouldn't it be clarified that there is no actual tigress or prostitute or devil which seems to come from an anthropomorphic scapegoating rather than a personal taking responsibility for our own defects? Shouldn't it be clarified? Well, here's your yes and no. How's that for an answer?
You're smart.
How do things appear in this world? They appear because of our having a hankering, and the hankering appears because of the sound we hear. When we have a hankering, then something appears. So it's not like it's aside or apart from us. There isn't really like open up and there's a tigress and there's a prostitute. But it's the effect of the material. Maya, Shakti, has that effect of devouring the soul, which doesn't happen. And so there's no tigress that devours the soul because the soul doesn't get devoured. But it's this, as I said, it's poetry, it's a metaphor to understand it's like that. But it's definitely, in Raghunath Das Goswami's Padati, his teaching, it's something that it's an internal contamination that we need to be watchful for if we want to reach shelter of Radha and Krishna. The sound vibration of liberation. Katamukti. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Is all it is? Don't know about Swami Maharaj.